Welcome to the 11th episode of ZTGD Podcast Radio, where today we're going to talk about required gaming, games that you must play, Burger King games and how they sold millions and raised profits for the company, and the fact that Unreal Tournament is no longer exclusive to the PS3. We got a lot to cover and a little time to cover it in, so stay tuned for episode 11 of ZTGD Podcast Radio. Intro there. That was some good tunes.
Yes, that was that was a cool tune, I must say. It was quite exquisite.
I'm glad that I got through the intro after 14 times.
Yes, after 14 takes, if we release like a whatchamacallit, a
bloopers?
Like bloopers. If we ever release a bloopers, oh my god, all the cursing. Jeez
Louise. All right, so we got a lot to talk about today, and it is, once again, a crazy small cast. It's just me and the con man.
Yes, Gambus Con here.
That's right. Killer Wolverine is working the late shift, and the Wombat is tied up once again. But hopefully we are going to be doing these more frequently now, and we might even spring for some better equipment so it doesn't sound like we're, you know, broadcasting out of a warehouse.
Yeah.
That would be great. But we're not rich billionaires, and we don't have corporate sponsors, but buy aspirin, because it's good for your head. Anyway, moving on. All right, so we're going to start this off, and we're going to start with our usual opening segment of what are you playing? What's fondling your console? I'm going to rename it that now.
Fondling?
What's fondling your video game console this week, Mr. Khan?
Well, that's a quite interesting way of putting it. But lately, I've been fondling around with, I'm still playing Lost Planet.
Good times.
I still have yet to beat it. I'm going through it really slow.
You're treasuring the moment?
Yes, it's like a fine wine.
Do you love how, like, the afterthoughts of Lost Planet, now people are just ripping the hell out of it? Does that just frustrate the piss out of you?
It does. People still are trying to compare it to tactical shooters.
I know. And it's just, and it's funny because, like, you read the reviews and you hear people complain about it. It's always the same thing. It's the get-up animation, which, yes, is annoying.
Yeah.
You know, it's the shitty AI, which, you know, it's not like the guys in Contra were solving quantum physics or anything. But, you know, it's these little gripes that they're bitching about, and they're just not having fun with it. And it's just a mindless shooter, and that's what's fun about it.
It's a mindless shooter. I mean, if you look deep in within it, you could see some strategic elements, like when it comes to boss battles, but yeah.
You know, find the big orange spot and shoot it.
Yeah.
You know. But honestly, it is what it is, and it's fun for what it is. So you play anything else?
Yes, I've been playing a game made for elitists.
Elitists?
Yeah.
Is this one of those RPG terms?
No, it's, I guess, I don't know, Elite Beat Agents.
Oh, you're talking about Elite Beat Agents. Okay, yeah, you're still playing that too.
Yeah, it's a very elitist game. It requires lots of rhythm.
So how are you playing it?
Exactly.
This is the guy that can't pass, you know, a Guitar Hero song on easy.
Yeah.
But he did beat a Karaoke Revolution song.
Barely.
Barely, but yes. It was quite a sight to see. We need video podcast of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
That'd be on YouTube, and you would be a millionaire.
I would be I'd be a star.
You'd be a star.
A bright, shiny star.
I'm gonna be a star.
Yeah.
Big, bright, shining star.
Oh, yeah.
Flashbacks of Boogie Nights.
Yes. After you see that movie,
you'll be a big, bright, shining star, too. Don't take a date to it, though. Because you're definitely not getting laid after that ending scene.
No. No. No, and also it kind of raises the bar.
or lowers it,
of what the expectation is for the rest of the evening.
Yes,
so.
Well, you know. So we're still playing Elite Beat, playing Lost Planet. I heard you tell me earlier you picked up a little PSU. Did you pop it in yet? Phantasy Star Universe?
Not yet.
Okay, so he hasn't played that yet. Anything else?
And yeah, I also started playing a little bit of this obscure Japanese kind of RPG anime type of game.
Can you pronounce it? Because I can't really.
No, it's called
Artornelico?
Artornelico, yeah.
Something like that from Nipponichi.
Yes, it's from NIA.
Nipponichi of America.
Yes, it seems pretty cool. It's got a science fantasy type of game. What I mean by science fantasy is that, you know, unlike science fiction, which is grounded in reality, science fantasy is grounded in fantasy.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's got, you know, like a futuristic setting, like computers and, you know, computer viruses and stuff like that, but it still has the fantasy elements of, like, magic and crazy stuff. And you know what? And get this. This is the biggest surprise. A spiky-haired male guy who whines all the time is the main hero of the game.
That never happens in Japanese RPGs.
Yeah, exactly. And get this. Here is another, like, little bit of a story tidbit. Guess what you have to find?
The Crystal of Life.
Dude, you have to find the Hymn Crystal.
The Hymn Crystal. So there is a crystal.
Yes. It's the science fantasy version of the Crystal of Life.
You see that? We do not lie in our previous top 10 list that it's always there. And I'm sure you'll meet an elder, and you'll fall in love with a childhood friend.
They did introduce a girl character about the same age as the main male character. Yeah, so I'm only about, like, a half hour into the game, and I already see a love story.
Now, I read somewhere that it has dating sim elements. Have you reached that aspect of the game yet?
I have yet to reach that aspect. I pretty much made it to the first save point.
Just getting a feel.
Yeah, just copying a feel.
Copying a feel as he was fondling his consoles. Well, look for
yes.
Mr. Khan's return to reviews as he is reviewing this game in the next couple weeks, along with Elite Beat Agents.
Yes.
So we will have full text reviews. Yes, we know they're old, and we're sorry IGN and 1UP already had the reviews, but you know what? Who cares?
Exactly.
You want an opinion on it now, we're going to give it to you now, and we don't shy away from these games.
Yeah, and there might be still some people who are like, oh, Elite Beat Agents, what's that? You know,
a little resurgence of good talk about the game's never going to hurt it.
Not at all.
You playing anything else, or does that pretty much wrap up your fondling?
That's pretty much my fondling.
Your fondling for the week?
Yes, my escapades.
Well, for the first time in the history of this podcast, you are playing more than I am this week.
Holy
crap. Yeah, I know.
Crap.
That's insane. But basically, that can be a good and a bad thing. The good reason is I'm so addicted to the Crackdown demo that I've probably put more time into that than I have most of my games that I actually own.
Really?
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous how much fun I'm having, like getting online and trying to see how many of my skills I can level up before the timer runs out. And once you max out agility and strength, it's so much fun just jumping from building to building, you know, winging cars at people. Or blowing stuff up and watching it fly. I cannot imagine the possibilities. Me and Killer Wolverine got on Xbox Live the other night, and we were driving this truck that had a ramp on it, and we would drive the truck up the street while the other one of us would get in a car and drive behind him and try to ramp off the truck while it was moving. And chaos ensues.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's crazy good times.
Then we
played tag for 45 minutes.
Tag?
Yeah, we were rooftop to rooftop playing tag.
Sweet.
It's just, and you tag each other by kicking each other. And if you can kick the other person, they're it, and you got to chase them.
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of this demo, and it has kind of a Matrix-esque feel to it.
Yeah, you just jump off the roof. And
yeah.
I agree with, I know you listen to 1UP Yours. Great podcast.
Yes.
We'll give them a plug. It's a great podcast.
Woo-hoo.
That John Davison talked about, that, and I agree with, is this is going to be one of those games where you see hundreds and hundreds of videos on YouTube of people just doing some outrageous shit.
Yeah.
It's going to be incredible. And that's what's going to make it fun. And when it comes out on February 20th, there will be another reason to buy it besides the Halo 3 beta.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's been taking up most of my time. But like the con man, I also finally got sucked into the universe.
The universe.
Yes. My girlfriend picked me up a copy of Phantasy Star Universe for Valentine's Day. I got a little early. So I've been diving in, you know, going back, reliving some more glory days from the Dreamcaster.
Yeah, Dreamcast, rest in peace.
Yeah, it was a sad day. We'll have to do a show about the Dreamcast one day.
Yeah.
A retro show.
A retro Dreamcast extravaganza.
Oh, yeah, a whole show about Dreamcast. We'll do that upcoming soon, but it really brought me back, and eventually when you get on live in a couple weeks, or next week, I may actually delve in and pay for a couple months and we'll play online, you know, because I've been missing it.
Yeah, same here.
It's like an old friend comes back.
Comes back, but this time.
There won't be any disconnections for the call.
Yeah. Because last time when we were playing this game, what I mean by this game, I mean, you know, Phantasy Star Universe isn't really that much of a leap over Phantasy Star Online.
Oh my god, no. I mean, graphically, it's almost the same game.
Exactly. It's the same. It's basically the same game with, you know, different stages, a story, narrative, and, you know, that's about it. And when we were playing on Dreamcast, you know, I was playing it through dial-up internet.
Well, I was too.
Yeah, well, we were both. And Mr. Zero Tolerance was using a pay service for internet, which was a stable service. And I was using, I'm not going to name the company.
The free, everybody knows all the free ones, so they'll just narrow it down.
I was using a free internet service, and needless to say, I spent more time, you know, trying to reconnect to Phantasy Star Online than actually playing it. But I will say that I really, really enjoyed it. While I was playing it, I'd be at work thinking about it. I'd be like, man, people are playing Phantasy Star Online right now. You know, I wonder if Zero Tolerance is playing it as well. I wonder what level he's at. Crap, I got to build up my character, you know?
It is an addiction, and you people that complain about latency and high-speed internet gaming now, go back to our Dreamcast days and how laggy games like Unreal and Fantasy, you know, and just Daytona and stuff just was. It was bad.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was a pioneer. It was the first online console that really worked, and it was a beautiful thing.
Good times. Good times.
But I think that's pretty much all I've been playing is that and the occasional heavy weapon, which I'm still diving into.
Heavy weapon.
It's been 2 weeks without a new arcade game. Oh, and I did get to test run the new Ghost Recon.
Really?
The Marketplace demo is out, and I got to play a little bit of the single-player campaign. And I will say this, if you like Grawl, you're in for a treat, because this thing is incredible. The level they give you in the demo is just insane. There's a scene where you go down this mountainside, and you're sniping these guys, and once you get down there, they start shooting mortars at you. And it's like the opening scene from Medal of Honor, where it's just shit's just blowing up all around your head, and you're like, you hear people screaming, I'm hit, take cover, it's going to blow. And seeing that in next-gen visuals, you know, in 720p, oh, it's gorgeous. And if you like Grawl, you're going to like it. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. And to seg into a little early tidbit of news, the PS3 version will not be out until 3 months after the 360 version. So if you have a 360, you'll be able to play it next month. Otherwise, if you have a PS3 and you're waiting on Grawl 2, you're going to have to wait till summer, which seems to be a pattern. But we'll talk about that later. But right now, we're going to seg into the news. So let's do some news that you can use.
Some news.
I like the little news music we have now.
Yes,
that's some rocking tunes.
But, quite indubitably,
we're spending so much more money on, you know, production values now.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty soon will be a big-name RPG. But anyway, let's go right into the news. And as always, we've segregated it by system. So we're going to start off with the 360 once again because it has the pipeline of news. So here we go. The first big announcement was made this morning. Bugbear Entertainment and Empire Interactive have announced the follow-up to Flatout, the crazy game where you throw your driver out the windshield.
Nice.
Yeah, so next-gen version of that is coming for 360 in June. No other systems were named, but I would guess PC and eventually PS3. The next bit of news I talked about earlier, the Grawl 2 demo is up on Marketplace, so go check that out. It's free for gold members. Silver members will be available next week. In other demo news, NBA Street Home Court demo will be on Marketplace on Friday, which if the podcast gets done, it should be right now. It should be there now, so go download it.
Oh, alrighty then.
Yeah, go download it on Marketplace. It's free, and you get a taste of it. And from what I've read, it's freaking incredible. So
freaking incredible.
So EA finally making a great 60 frames per second next-gen sports game.
Who would have ever thought?
All right. Also in Xbox 360 news, the thing making the rounds on the internet right now is not the official, but PlayStation Magazine, PSM, did a head-to-head with the 360 and the PS3 and claimed them to be dead even. Now, this may not mean much, and it may not, bode well for certain things, but from a perspective of that, imagine the Xbox Magazine saying the same thing, and you understand where I'm going with that.
Nice.
Yeah, you would never see that. So in essence, you can take that and kind of jump it up, and they're a little jealous, I think.
It seems to be, yeah.
Yeah, because, the PS3 so far, while it is an impressive piece of hardware.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very happy that I have one, and when Virtua Fighter and MotorStorm come out, I'll be in hog heaven. But up until this point, honestly, I haven't played anything on it.
No Blu-ray movies?
Well, I bought a couple, but at this point, I think they look pretty, but when I go to the store and I see a DVD movie for $14.99... and I see the Blu-ray version for $34.99.
Yeah.
That's what's drawing me back. Right. Yes, it is pretty. And when there are big movies that come out, like Superman Returns or something, I will buy it.
Star Wars, man.
If Star Wars ever goes to Blu-ray, yes, I will buy it again for the 25th time. Fuck you, George Lucas.
Yeah. See it again.
Yeah, because he'll release
it
once. Yeah, he'll release it once on Blu-ray and then once again with special regular editions. And, George, just bend me over and I'll keep taking it. I can't help it.
It should come with some KY jelly with each release.
I definitely need it. But to hear PSM proclaim that they're dead even is a big thing, because that just means that the 360 is doing really well as far as in the journalistic eyes. So that's a good thing. Lost Planet is getting another update to their online service to fix a few issues. Nothing major. A couple glitches that were found and a couple things with the connection speed showing up on the menu now. So a few more things. It's nice to see developers keeping up with the community.
You know what I would like to see, Zero?
What's that?
A patch for the Sonic the Hedgehog game for 360. A patch that makes the game good.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it could happen.
I think that patch comes in a little white box. It's called the Wii, and you just buy the Wii version of Sonic and the Secret Rings.
Yeah, the Secret Rings. That's the patch. You got to get a new system, though.
Pretty much.
And you can't find them.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. At this point, still in we're in February now. End of February, the cold, cold months of February, you still cannot go into the store and buy a Wii. But you know what? I went to Best Buy the other day, 6 PS3 sitting on the shelf.
If only I had $6 billion, I would buy one then.
If you had $6 billion, you'd be Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't buy PS3s, you'd buy Xboxes. See? Or Windows Vista.
Yeah, I'd buy Vista.
All right. Moving on, another demo news, the Def Jam demo, which was due out today, which is Thursday. It's actually been delayed, so expect that in the next couple weeks. Next on the list, Monster Madness now has a release date, and if you haven't heard of this game, you need to go check it out.
Oh, yeah.
You seriously need to go check it out, because it is reminiscent of the old Zombies Ate My Neighbors, kind of overhead, crazy, whacked-out artistic style, four-person mayhem. There's even a 16-player online deathmatch mode, and the game just looks phenomenal.
Yeah, it's running on the Unreal 3 engine, is that correct?
I I don't know if it is or not. I'm not sure. I have to look into that.
Because I think I read somewhere that it actually is running on the Unreal 3 engine.
Well, you know, pretty much at this point, everything is running on Unreal 3.
Yeah, but an overhead action game, you know.
Even Squaresoft licensed the Unreal Engine now.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, so. That's sweet.
The Unreal Engine is going to be the video game's whore.
Yes.
Everybody will use it.
But slutty Unreal.
That's right. April 3rd is the release date on that for Xbox 360 and PC, so definitely check that out. It's definitely worth looking into. Hopefully we'll get a Marketplace demo.
Yes.
All right, next piece of news we mentioned at the top of the hour, which is Unreal Tournament. Midway just had their recent Gamers Day, which I'm sad I didn't get to attend. It was in Vegas. I would have loved to have gone.
Oh, yeah, the showgirls I heard are marvelous.
Oh, in Vegas?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's why you would have gone. I'd have gone for the free booze and video games.
Yeah,
to have dinner with Ed Boon.
Oh, man.
You know, I have met him. He's a cool guy. But
I bet so. You would have to be.
Yeah. To be Ed Boon, you'd have to be cool. But Midway Gamers Day, we got a couple pieces of news from there. The big one, obviously, is Unreal Tournament 3, which was originally called Unreal Tournament 2007. Has now been confirmed for the 360. And funny enough, it may show up on that system before it shows up on the PS3. Which is another thing we talked about earlier with Grawl 2. Developers are getting the 360 version done faster because the hardware is easier to work on. So, hopefully we'll see that sometime in the third or fourth quarter of 2007. So, look forward to that. And everybody cheer because now you got the Xbox Live integration of the multiplayer. And it's a very multiplayer-centric game.
Yeah.
So, Xbox Live and Unreal Tournament together equals Orgy.
Oh, yes.
Also from the Midway Gamers Day... exclusive 360 title, Hour of Victory, World War II type game, but not a first-person shooter, per se. It has different, it's kind of like a mesh. It's best to go read about it, because it's hard to describe, but it is exclusive. Look for that in summer. The next piece of news is for all you achievement whores out there, like myself, Microsoft has, a site has actually, I can't remember the name of the site, and I'd love to give you credit, but a site has reported that Microsoft has a program in the works that will reward gamers for their achievement points now. What that entails,
nice.
I don't know. Maybe some free live subscriptions. Maybe some free marketplace points, you know.
Maybe a cap.
A cap? Like an Xbox hat?
Yes.
I'll take an Xbox 360 hoodie.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Like a free hoodie?
A white hoodie with the little swirl on it and the logo.
Here's another idea. For the individual companies that make, you know, that make games, the individual companies should give out prizes to certain achievements. You know, so like
I think they should have contests for like the first 100 people to get this particular achievement. Like, say for instance, the Dead Rising achievement for 53,000 zombies killed.
Yeah,
the first 100 people to get that should get like a free copy of the next Capcom game or something. Because that's a really big commitment to get that. So, there's a lot of cool ideas that could go along with this.
Or you could give, like, free t-shirts.
Free t-shirts are always good. We love t-shirts. Yeah. Send all t-shirts to ztgamedomain.com. But anyway, but definitely, there's a lot of cool ideas there, and I'll be interested to see what happens. Microsoft hasn't made an official comment. They said, we're looking into ways to reward players, but they haven't made anything official. So, expect that in the next couple months. Next piece of news we also mentioned at the top of the hour was Burger King Games. Sold a whopping 3.2 million copies and managed to raise Burger King stock and profits 40% for the year.
Whoa.
Now, that you figure you sold 3.2 million copies of a game for $4 a piece, and you sold a value meal with, like, damn near all of them. Man, people were driving into Burger King just to get video games. And
it's very interesting, and for what you pay for them, they're actually pretty good games.
They're entertaining. I mean, if you'd paid $10, $15 for them, you'd have been pissed.
Yeah.
Because they're very low production value. But for $4, when, you know, usually you would get like a glass or something stupid with your value meal, you got an Xbox game with achievement points and two of them were online.
Yeah, I can't wait until they release like a series two of them. I'd like to have like a side-scrolling Contra game.
With the King?
With the King,
and you shoot a machine gun?
That'd be awesome.
And his special move would be just, like, dance at him or something?
Or a one-on-one fighting game. That would be sweet.
Yeah, with all the characters. You could beat up Brooke Burke.
Yeah.
Because she's in everything.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
No comments.
All this talk about Burger King is making me hungry. Anyway, the next piece
the fries are good.
Yeah, who takes the picture of those fries?
Oh, no.
They're marvelous, man. They just jump up out of the box.
It's like they're so juicy and salty at the same time.
That's a Dane Cook reference. I'm not going to take credit for that. It's funny. But anyway, the next piece of news, the Call of Duty 3 map pack is now fixed, so you can go download that. It's 800 points for 5 maps. And then the last piece of Xbox news is the biggest. Yes, you've heard me bitch on the last two podcasts about no new arcade games. Well, Microsoft has released the upcoming quarter schedule for Xbox Live Arcade releases, including 10 titles that will be released starting the first week of February, which is next Wednesday. These are in no particular order, so don't go, oh my god, it's your tolerance that this one was supposed to come out next Wednesday. So don't give me shit. I'm just going to tell you the next 10 titles that are going to be released. These are the next 10 titles. First one is 3D Ultra Mini Golf Adventures, which looks really cool. It's 36 holes of golf, made by Wanako Games, and it's just basically miniature golf. With crazy, you know, basically, you know, you're getting a Wii game for live arcade. Like Hot Shots. I like Hot Shots with, like, crazy courses. Like Outlaw Golf, something like that. So that should be good times. Looking forward to that. I'm sure there'll be Xbox Live Play, which that's always a bonus.
Oh, yeah.
Next one on the list, Alien Hominid HD, which it really needs no introduction. You know, if you've played Alien Hominid, you know what to expect. This version will include online multiplayer and even some exclusive features for Xbox Live. And it's presented in full HD widescreen 720p. Beautiful.
Excellent.
The next game is from one of my favorite Xbox Live Arcade developers, NinjaBee, the guys that made Outpost, Kologi X, and Cloning Clyde. They are making a game called Band of Bugs.
Band of Bugs?
Yes, it's a fast-paced tactical strategy game. You know, and I saw the screenshots, and I can't say that I'm, you know, looking at the screenshots, I get excited, but it's NinjaBee. And, you know, you look at the screenshots of Outpost Kologi, and you go, what the hell is that? Then you play it, and you realize it's just addictive, so... Looking forward to that. The next one is the mother lode, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, the first game to break the 50 meg limit, and probably it will probably take over as the most downloaded arcade game by far.
Yeah,
which I think is currently held by Street Fighter or no, it's Uno.
Uno
is the number one downloaded game.
Interesting.
So, and I think Street Fighter's up there, Mortal Kombat's up there, Geometry Wars is up there. I think Castlevania's going to just demolish them all. Everybody's waiting on that. Next one is called Catan, which is a...
Catan!
Catan is a strategy board game, kind of in the same vein as Risk.
Oh, I like Risk.
So if you like Risk, it'd probably be something you'd be interested in. It's a Microsoft Game Studios published. It's made by Big Huge Games. Could look good. I mean, could be fun.
Yeah.
The next one I never knew anything about, never even heard of it until... This announcement's called Eats Chow Down.
What?
It's Eats Chow Down. It's apparently a PC title. And the Xbox version will contain 120 new levels. And it's... I really don't know. Like, you eat marshmallows or something. Like, you're a little creature that eats marshmallows.
You eat marshmallows?
Yeah. That's a bit. Eats Chow Down.
I'm already sold.
Yeah. Throw in some Xbox Live Play. I'll be there. Achievements? You know I'm there. Next one up is Luxor 2, which is very similar to...
Luxor?
Yeah, it's just like Luxor, but with a number after it. But no, it's Zuma, like Zuma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that kind of puzzle, shoot the balls and match them kind of deal.
I like shooting balls.
I'm sure you do like shooting balls. Shooting balls in a barrel, gamble's gone. Win a prize for your girl. Anyway... Next two games come from one of our favorite developers, Midway, as they bring two of their older arcade titles, Paperboy and Root Beer Tapper.
Oh, yeah.
So those both could be good times. Expect the same kind of treatment that most of their games get, like Defender, where it's just, you know, achievements and a little updated graphics. So looking forward to those. And the last one on the list is a big one for me, which is Worms.
Worms.
I love me some Worms. I mean, it's just, that's such a fun game. It's hilarious. It's one of the few genuinely funny games. It's fun. It's a strategy game. If you've never played it and this is your first time, it's definitely time to check it out. It is being redone completely from the ground up for HD. It contains a lot of the older levels, but it is being redone, and it will have Xbox Live Play, so definitely check that out.
Excellent.
All right. Finally out of 360 news. All right, so we move on to PlayStation 3. There's your noise from last week. Alright, the first on the list, and goth people cry, go cut yourself or something, emo people. Devil May Cry 4 is exclusive to PS3. Capcom squashed the rumor that it was coming to the 360, so all the rumors of Capcom being bought by Microsoft and Devil May Cry coming to the 360 are squashed. So, Dante will not stray. He is a one-console man, even though he's not the star of the game.
His identical twin is.
Yes, Nero. Which, yeah, what are you going to do? Moving on. Here's a little piece of news that made Sony happy. Blu-ray is outselling HD DVD 2-1. So, Blu-ray is penetrating faster.
It's penetrating the market.
It is penetrating the market. So, it may seem that Blu-ray may win this war out, but I still don't think either one of them are going to come out a clear-cut winner. You know, I just, you know, unless PS3 sales just go through the roof and it just becomes, you know, the de facto player.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to go out and spend $1,000 right now just for the player, I don't think, except for the tech heads.
Yeah.
So.
And from what I hear, the PS3, in terms of Blu-ray players, is actually a very good Blu-ray player.
Yeah, it really is. Like I said, I only had it lock up on me once. Of course, I only used it twice.
Oh.
So, you know, 50% of the time it works.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm being facetious, but you know, I rarely ever use it. But from what I've used it so far, it looks really good. So, and I'm getting an HDMI cable this weekend, so I'll let you know how much better that does.
Oh yeah.
So, all right. Next piece of news: the PlayStation Store got a little update. It ain't seen much, but it got a little update this weekend or this week. Flow finally came out. The demo you downloaded from, you know, PlayStation Store day one.
I heard that was pretty good.
I didn't get into it. Oh, no, wait, Flow wasn't the one I downloaded. I downloaded Blast Factor. I'm sorry. All the games with characters with little tails on them, now they all stream together to me.
Oh, really?
They're all Geometry Wars with a different thing. But Flow, I guess, is like you eat like amoeba or something. Just like a virus or parasite or something, and you fly around and eat it. I don't know. It could be good.
I heard it was good.
Yeah. I may have to check out the demo. Because you like Live Arcade, you can download a demo. I'll check it out. Because without achievements, I'm such a whore. If it's got achievements, I'll download it. But without them, you know, I don't want to spend the $2.99, which it is $2.99. Not bad.
$2.99.
And a new PS1 game showed up on the store this week. Jet Moto, personal favorite of mine.
Jet Moto.
Yeah, but still only playable on the PSP. What the fuck are you doing, Sony? Make it playable on my PlayStation 3. I don't want to play it on the little screen with the nub. I want to play it on my high-definition TV. Fix that. Fix that. And I'll start buying your old PS1 games for $5.99. Because I really want to play Rallycross, and it's up there. So, alright. Next piece of news. The 1.5 update that was just released for the PS3 has two things going for it.
What's that?
One bad, one good. Well, it's causing movies to freeze more frequently in the Blu-ray player, apparently. A lot of users are reporting that. But it did fix all the backward compatibility issues with the Jaggies and making Final Fantasy XII look like ass. So it fixed that. So for, you know, one step forward, you take one back. Maybe Sony eventually will get it.
Yeah, you just have to wait for the next patch.
1.6.
Yeah.
So, all right. Next piece of news, and this does not bode well, but in a recent statement made by the president of Sony, they are claiming that a price cut is not out of the question for their future strategy.
Oh, really?
It's too much that they may consider a price cut to penetrate more sales.
To penetrate?
Yes, I keep using that word, and every time I do, you light up like a Christmas tree.
You know, I think that's a wonderful word.
I'm sure you do.
Yes.
I'm sure you enjoy that word more than most people should. But price cut, and to what? I don't know. $4.99? $5? Hell, I don't know. It's a lot of money to me right now.
It'll probably be somewhere around like
$579.99. $579.99.
We'll
give you $20. Anyway, $20. All right, moving on. Last piece of PS3 news. Saints Row, the once-exclusive GTA clone for the Xbox 360, is coming to the PS3 in May with some new added features.
Is it going to be in 1080p?
We will see. It is Volition. You never know.
You never know.
But it's at the point now where, you know, the PS3 has like 6 titles coming out in March, and most gamers don't give 2 shits about them because they came out on the 360 6 months ago, or a year ago, you know, so Saints Row is seeming like about the same kind of idea.
Yeah.
Who cares at this point?
You know something? I'm starting to see a trend here, as you just conveyed, You know, the PS3 looks like a nice 360 port machine.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the PS3, as of this year, will be kind of like how the PSP was to the PS2 of last year.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you keep on buying ports.
If you don't own a 360, every game coming out of March is fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, Rainbow Six, Fear, Oblivion. We won't count Sonic because it sucks. But all these games coming out, they're great. So, I mean, if you don't have a 360 and you haven't played them, by all means, go buy them. But if you own a 360, this is old hat to you. And the Saints Row announcement is old news to you, too. You've played it. You've beat it. Since then, you've got Just Cause and you've got Crackdown coming around the corner.
Here's a very interesting thing I've also noticed. Is that the PS3, when it first came out, was sort of the, I'm going to use this word again because I like it, an elitist system. The top of the line, you know, everybody's like, oh, I'm an elitist gamer. Well, now, I don't really think so. You might say that you're an elitist when it comes to high-tech gear, but in terms of gaming elitists, I would say if you're an elitist, you own a 360.
Yeah, because right now, if there's a new game coming out, it's a new IP outside of a couple things, and it's a big deal, and the 360 already has it, or it's coming to the 360.
Thing is, though, I must admit, I'm jealous. I would really like to have a PS3 so I can play Virtual Fighter 5 when it comes out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I got my PS3 warming up for that.
Yeah, I know it's coming out for 360, but
it's in August. Yeah, so it's like 6 months.
It's one of those things, you know.
That one hurt. Six months hurts.
It hurts.
Now we know how the PS3 guys feel.
Actually, no, we don't. Because if we knew how the PS3 guys feel, we wouldn't even know what came out for 360, so we wouldn't give a crap.
This is true. They see the PS3, and it's like the first thing they've ever seen.
Yeah. To people that are happy with PS3s, that is their first step into
next gen.
Into next gen, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And don't get us wrong, we love the PS3, but right now, it's a disappointing $600 purchase for me.
It is. It's very, very disappointing.
But only because I own a 360.
Yeah. But what if, for the person who doesn't own neither of them, which should he get?
360. That's just my opinion, because outside of Virtua Fighter, MotorStorm, and Resistance, I mean, until Metal Gear, what? I mean, and you look at the library of 360 right now, you're at like 100-plus games, and, you know, a lot of them are really good.
Yeah.
So, you know, right now, I still say 360. So, but that's a whole other debate. We can get into that every week.
There you have it.
But we'll move on to the Wii news, because that always makes everybody smile.
The Wii!
First piece of Wii news is we mentioned that Mario Kart 64 showed up on the Virtual Console last week. And apparently there's a bug in it that will not allow you to save your ghost data to replay.
What?
So, it's a minor bug, and I'm not going to complain about it, but Nintendo has said that they will not release a fix. So, it is the way it is, brother.
It's the way it is, brother!
And the next one, this one's a little nasty. Sony actually said, and this is a quote, "The Wii is an impulse buy. And that it's not for serious gamers, you know." They called it an impulse buy, that people are just buying it just because.
Just because.
Just because they can flip the wrist or whatever. And that sounds like a little bitterness.
It does.
You know, and it sounds a little arrogant, too.
Yeah, I think Sony's jealous.
I think Sony is jealous, because right now they're getting their asses handed to them by both.
Oh, yeah.
Not in Japan, but, you know, in overall, they're getting their asses handed to them by both. I mean, especially the Wii. The Wii's just taken off and gone crazy places, you know. I mean, it's killing the PS3 everywhere. So, a little bitterness there, Sony. Don't concentrate on your competition so much as to insult them with stupidity like that.
Yeah, I mean,
just make some great games.
Yeah, Sony. I mean, Nintendo says they're not in competition with you, so why you have to act like you're in competition with Nintendo?
Yeah, Nintendo just says that, though, because, you know, they feel, I think, that their hardware doesn't compare. I think they're going for a different demographic. But, and, you know, they can say that all they want. Little jackasses like us are always going to sit here and compare all three of them.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know. Anyway, Atari has announced a new Godzilla game. Did you want one?
Actually,
no, don't lie to me.
Actually, I do. I do. I want a good one. Well, I want a good Godzilla game.
Maybe you should call somebody besides Atari then.
Perhaps.
Because, you know, the last two they released. No, I'm not going to give them too much shit. The one on the 360, the Goddamn Godzilla Destroy All Monsters Melee, that was the acronym, Goddamn. But that one wasn't bad. The fighting game, it was a little slow, but you'd expect that for a giant monster fighting game.
Yeah, I love Godzilla. I'd like to have, like, Godzilla versus Gamera, but... But they never can do that because both monsters are made by two different companies that are rivaling each other.
You know who should make a Godzilla game?
Who's that?
Incog. The guys that made War of the Monsters.
War of the Monsters.
War of the Monsters was the bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love War of the Monsters. Sony, make a sequel to that and I'll praise your PS3 nonstop. You need more games like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, last piece of Wii news we have is the news channel has gone live. Which me and Gamus were flipping through this last night, and it's actually kind of entertaining.
It is.
You do the little slideshow, you click the A button, and it like shows you where the news is and what part of the country or the world. And then, you know, if you hit A while it's doing the slideshow, it'll give you the story. But if you just let it slideshow, it gives you like the headline.
I like to call it like a virtual newspaper.
Yeah. It's really well done.
Oh, yeah. The interface is graphically pleasing to the eye. It's very neat. It's not cluttered, and it just feels really neat. It might actually make reading the news fun.
It's funny because I kind of poked fun at the Weather Channel and the News Channel for the Wii.
Yeah,
and it's actually caused me to use them. I check the Wii Weather at least once a day, and you know, now the Wii News, I'll check that once a day, and I'll probably use those channels for a while more than I play my console until I get back into Zelda, of course, which I really need to do. But moving on, we have a few pieces of multi-platform news, and then we're going to take our first break. The first multi-platform news makes me a happy panda. 2K Sports and Visual Concepts are bringing a football game out in June.
Sweet.
I am so excited because I have been a huge advocate ever since the EA got the rights to the NFL and 2K stopped making football games. I still play my ESPN 2K5. I love that game. Granted, this game will not be an official NFL licensed game. It will be fake teams, fake players, but I just want to see what engine they have for these next-gen consoles so when the NFL license goes back to everybody can use it, what an NFL game will be like made by those guys.
Be very interesting.
I am really excited about that. And they said it's supposed to come out in June, so we don't have to wait long. Hopefully we'll get some screenshots up soon.
Yeah.
The next one also came from Midway Gamers Day is the new Area 51 was announced for Xbox 360 and PS3.
Sweet.
It's called Black Sight. We have screenshots up on our website, so stop over by the website at ztgamedomain.com. Check out those screenshots. And the last piece of news, Activision dropped the Spider-Man 3 site on us with a new trailer for the game and some new information, a contest that you can enter to be the first person to play the game. And that's even before us. You know, we know the guys at Activision. We don't get to play it. So go register for that contest. The website is up on our front page of our website today. It's actually on the top story. Little Sweet. Picture of Peter Parker there in his black suit.
Yeah, the black.
So
Venom suit.
Yep. So go register for that contest, and you could be one of the lucky people to actually get to play the game before we do. So. But right now, we're going to take a small break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about new releases that came out this week, and then we're going to move into our main feature of the afternoon, which will, of course, be Required Gaming, which our resident RPG guru, Gambus Khan, has brought along his must-play RPGs, action and turn-based, and we also have the top 10 games that you have to play
to be considered a hardcore gamer.
These are required games that every person should have to play. So when we come back, we'll give you those lists. We'll talk a little bit about the games, and we'll talk about new releases. So for now, we're going to take a little break. So Mr. Khan, if you'd take me out.
I hurt you deeply, too young.
We're a little refreshed. We got a little beverages.
Yes. I mean, quite right.
Quite right, yes. Yeah. It's all good. I got a little hot chocolate going on. It's a little frigid outside, and it's only getting colder. So, need to keep the body warm.
Yeah, it's like what? Like in the teens? In terms of...
Wind chill?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little cold outside. But we're going to move on. The first thing we're going to talk about are new releases this week. And during these cold, cold, bitter months, there's not a lot. And this week is no exception. Not much. This week we have Rogue Galaxy for the PS2, which, that's all you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. RPG in the cold winter months. If you're done with Final Fantasy XII, might be a good idea.
Which I am not. I still have a nice, big chunk of Final Fantasy XII to still go through.
Yeah, well, when it's done, you got Rogue Galaxy. And then by the time that rolls around, you'll have Blue Dragon.
Yeah.
So, you know, good pacing. Also this week, 360 gets two new releases. Fusion Frenzy 2, which I picked up. Actually, I forgot to mention that in my What You've Been Playing. But I played it maybe about an hour so far. And it's exactly like the first one, except really? Now there's achievements and it's online. So, I wouldn't really say it's worth $50, but if you're going to play it online...
Well, if you've been buying Wii games lately, then I would probably say, yeah, it is worth the $50 to buy Fusion Frenzy.
A collection of minigames?
Yes.
But there's no waggle with Fusion Frenzy.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, there you
me.
Go. You got a little crazy there.
Excuse me. I flipped out a little bit. I went crazy.
Also this week for the 360 was Battle Stations Midway, which me and the Wombat played the demo and just couldn't get into it. It's a little slow-paced kind of mix of real-time and strategy. I don't know. Just took too long.
A little unsettling,
yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah, it's not knocking my socks off. But the final release this week is Sonic the Hedgehog for the PlayStation 3. And you should avoid this game at all costs because it was horrible on the 360, and this is the same game.
But it's on Blu-ray.
I don't care if it's on gold. It's still shit. It's just, ugh, stay away. PS3 owners, I know you're starving for a game, but wait. Virtua Fighter will be here in 3 short weeks.
3 short, but very long weeks.
Yeah, and if you haven't played the 360 games, you have a couple, Rainbow Six and Fear, in March. So,
oh yeah.
Wait, don't buy this game. Don't waste $60 on its presence.
Buy it when it's 20.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that. But we're going to move on, and I'm going to flip it over to Gambus Khan now, because he has a couple of required RPGs for our listeners out there that he feels you should definitely play. So I will turn it over to you, and what do you have for us, Mr. Khan?
Well, I have... 2 lists. I have a list of 6 must-play turn-based RPGs and a list of 6 must-play action RPGs, and they're really in not any particular order, and I don't know why I chose 6. It's a very obscure number.
I figured you'd go 5, you know.
Yeah.
I guess there was 6 of one category you just had to have, so you stuck with the theme.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That was it.
We'll just call it 5 games with one tying on each level. There you go.
Game number 1, this is for the turn-based RPGs, is Dragon Warrior, the original.
For the NES.
For the NES.
God, you know, I still have that cartridge sitting out in my boxes.
It's
hard to play now.
It is. It is hard to play now. I must admit, it is.
But you got to get your roots in there.
It's got to, you know, you fight enemies through a first-person view, and you only take control of one character, so you don't have to even worry about party members. You're
bare bones.
Yes, a bare bones RPG. It how should I say? It lays down the foundation for what's to come.
Okay.
And next on my list is Final Fantasy VI. Or as
Final Fantasy III.
Yes, on the SNES it was Final Fantasy III, but in international terms it's Final Fantasy VI.
Which is also the same game that was just remade for the GBA, right?
Yeah, DS. It's about ready to come out.
Okay, I knew there was one coming.
Yeah. And this has a, it's a multiple character RPG, great story, and it made the most of the SNES hardware. There's actually sections where they try to include singing in some of the songs. There's a lot of Mode 7 effects. If you know what Mode 7 is, it's like scrolling in and out of certain graphical effects. It's got a great story. It's and I don't want to give too much away, but okay.
Well, in all honesty, if they haven't played it now, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, seriously, you're not going to play it, you know?
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's coming out for GBA, so...
Whole new audience, you think?
Yeah, and I must say, the very middle of the game, the story just gets so outrageous that the 50% mark of this game is better than the very end of most RPGs. So it raises the bar quite a bit. And number three game on my list is another Final Fantasy game, Final Fantasy VII.
You're not a fanboy or anything, are you?
Oh, I'm a fanboy. Oh, oh, it's Final Fantasy. Oh. But yes, Final Fantasy VII. This is the RPG that introduced the
mainstream
audience to RPGs, and it created even a more cinematic atmosphere. It's got an innovation and story. If anybody's, of course, there's been a lot of people that play Final Fantasy VII, but if you haven't, you must play it, because there is a certain tragedy that happens in the game that all the fanboys and fangirls are like, you know.
They're still trying to resurrect it.
Oh, yeah. And and also Final Fantasy introduced the feminine character designs in terms of their male characters.
You talking with Cloud?
Yeah, Cloud, Sephiroth.
More Sephiroth.
Yeah. It introduced the whole concept in you know, the modern RPG where the Japanese companies, I guess they grew tired of just having a male audience. So, you know, in Japan, it's a little bit different in terms of the type of men that women are attracted to.
They don't have muscles and big chins.
Exactly. well, what it all boils down to is the more feminine the man, the more attractive he is.
Does that mean Japanese people are like super lesbians?
No comment. And,
that was straight from the mouth of Genghis Khan.
The next game on my list is Chrono Trigger.
Ooh, now that's a good one.
It includes a time travel gameplay mechanic.
And a toad with pants.
Yes.
That still messes with my head.
It's a fantastic game.
But the toad wearing pants, it boggles my mind.
Yes, it's very weird. And there's a robot in it, too. Who would have ever thought that there was a robot in a...
was that the one that the advertisements in the old EGMs used to be? Like, the dog, like, real evil-looking?
Actually, no, that was, I can't remember the name of it. It was, like, Secret of Evermore.
Okay, that was where the dog, it was like, argh. Yeah, you see my bad side or something?
Yeah, that was the Secret of Evermore advertising campaign.
I keep remembering that it had the same color palette as Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
So
it was also made by Square, I think.
Wasn't every RPG in the 90s made by Square?
Square and Enix.
Square, but they're the same company now.
They're the same company now because they used to be rivals, and then they both joined together. Very interesting. And,
yeah, well.
Okay, the fifth RPG, turn-based, is, believe it or not, Pokemon.
Oh my god in heaven.
Because Pokemon introduced the collective, where the gameplay involves collecting an outside force in order to fight for you.
Yeah, but I still had to endure that horrible cartoon.
And another thing I was going to say about it is that it established a franchise empire through the cartoon, merchandising, the games, all the versions of the games.
Gotta catch them all.
Even the card games. So, yeah, Pokemon established an entire universe. There's the Pokemon store in New York City that you can go to if you want to. You could buy some Pokeballs.
You and balls tonight. I just don't want to know about it. But I had to sit in the theater through the Pokemon movie, and it was like sitting through a Kenny G concert. I mean, it was just painful. I sat through it in the theater. In the theater, I went to the theater and paid for a ticket that said Pokemon on it.
I'll tell you this: the Pokemon movie. I mean, it's not really great cinema by all means, but I just thought it was sweet that when it began, saw the giant Nintendo logo before a movie in a theater was pretty awesome, I thought, at that time.
Yeah, you saw Super Mario Brothers and the Wizard.
Well, yeah, that's true. And back then, I thought that movie was great.
Well, back then, Fred Savage thought he was going to be a huge actor, too.
Hey! I don't know. Who's to say?
Yeah, you know.
And number 6, Dragon Quest VIII.
Oh, the new one.
Yes. It's
It's so good you should pay $50 for it, according to Gambus.com.
Yes, you should pay $50 for it, even though you can pay $20 for it right now.
Because it's the greatest hit.
Oh, yeah. And here's why Dragon Quest VIII, which, by the way, for the uninitiative, Dragon Quest is it's kind of complicated. Dragon Warrior, which is number 1 on this list, is actually called Dragon Quest in Japan, and Dragon Quest VIII is the 8th game in the Dragon Quest series.
They got tired of changing the names, just like they got tired of changing the numbers of Final Fantasies.
Yeah.
They finally synced up, and now everybody's confused.
And the reason why Dragon Quest VIII is a quintessential RPG, even after you play through Dragon Warrior, is that it's such a grandiose leap in art, technology, music, but at the same time, it pays homage to the past games. So it's kind of like going from, because to be all honest, Dragon Quest VII didn't look much better than the very first Dragon Quest. And so going from 7 to 8 was a humongous leap.
It was developed by Level 5, the guys that brought Dark Cloud and,
Dark Cloud.
They did Rogue Galaxy.
Rogue Galaxy, And
they're big in the RPG scene right now. And they did True Fantasy Live Online that never came out.
Yes, which that was like one of the most anticipated titles for me for the original Xbox. I wanted that game so bad, and it broke my heart when it never came out.
Yeah, well.
And
we have another list from Mr. Khan.
Yes.
RPG Corner.
The top 6 must-play action RPGs.
Now, define action RPG for everyone who's not initiated.
Action RPGs are basically, they usually involve a fantasy setting. They usually involve hack-and-slash elements.
So not turn-based.
So they're not turn-based, and they're either hack and slash or they're timed combo fighting, but you control the fights in real time, but at the same time, you're still gaining experience points, going up levels, equipping equipment and weapons, and story narrative intertwined into the gameplay. So it's very much like any, turn-based RPG, but
real-time combat.
Yes, real-time combat.
All right. What you got?
Number 1, Diablo 2.
Ooh. I didn't expect you to be pulling out these PC RPGs.
Yeah, the PC gets a little bit of love. And Diablo 2, I chose that because it seems like there's a lot of games that, if you really pay a close attention, they kind of pay homage to Diablo 2. Because Diablo 1 was kind of like an almost experimental type of game, whereas Diablo 2 was more established and realized, and it had multiplayer elements online, So it kind of gives hint towards MMOs. So that's why I picked Diablo 2.
It's still the granddaddy.
Yes.
The Diablo franchise is of the kind of isometric, real-time RPG action hack and slasher. Not enough, you know, descriptors for a game, but and people know what I mean. The Baldur's Gates and the Champions of Norrath and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And number two on my list is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, one of my favorites.
And I picked this game because it actually combines turn-based and action.
Which, yeah, BioWare was famous for that with the freezing of time and being able to pick what you wanted to do and even swapping weapons on the fly and stuff like that. I mean, it's constructed really well, and that's why I've got such high hopes for Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah. So, and another thing that KOTOR, Star Wars KOTOR, introduced to the table was Moral Dilemmas.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can choose to be good or evil.
It was so much more fun to be evil, though.
Yeah.
It was so much easier to play the game when you were evil, too.
Yeah, you get to, like, look ugly with wrinkles. You turn into the Sith Lord.
Well, you get more powers, too. You get, like, the electricity and the choke and all that stuff. And that was just fun.
It was quite marvelous.
Yeah, I had an evil, crazy Asian broad Jedi towards the end of the game, and she was all pale and white and... Man, I just tore people up with my... I don't carry a double-bladed. I carry two. Two lightsabers, one green, one blue. I killed everybody.
Fantastic.
Love that game. Sequel, not so much.
It wasn't made by BioWare.
Yeah, that's why. The story sucked.
Interesting. But number three, which brings us to number three.
Number three?
Is Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, snap. You know my feelings about this game.
Yeah, granted, there is a few problems with the gameplay of Kingdom Hearts, notably the camera, and that the gameplay is a little bit on the repetitive side, and,
targeting system's kind of
targeting
broken
system.
Sometimes, too.
But Kingdom Hearts 2, they address some of these problems, and Kingdom Hearts 2 actually plays better than the original one, but, since it's so story-driven, you pretty much have to play the first one to get what is actually going on in the second one, which is kind of the drawback to it. But I put this on my list because it combines two different franchises and creates one universe out of them.
And it did it very well, I'll give it that. Even though I didn't care much for the game, it did it well, it was a very pretty game, and it was not boring.
Yeah.
You know, I really didn't get into it, but it was really well constructed. Good game.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. I'll be playing like a certain area, and then I know that they intended this in mind, and it was kind of weird because I'd be playing this game, and then all of a sudden I'd be thinking to myself, well, you know, Aladdin's out on DVD. I think I feel in a Disney mood.
So it's kind of like the Burger King games.
Yeah. So
every
kinda,
time you play them, you're like, damn, I want a Whopper.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm like, oh, I want to go out and buy The Little Mermaid or something like that. I don't know.
I don't want to know about you wanting to buy The Little Mermaid.
Hey, that was a good movie.
Okay.
Keep
telling yourself that.
Yeah, I can tell myself. Which brings us to the fourth game, which is... The Elder Scrolls series, or more specifically, Oblivion.
Oblivion for a 360.
For the 360. And I picked that one because, believe it or not, I think it almost kind of pays homage to Dragon Warrior, but the developers of that game probably wouldn't think that, because there were other PC games that were similar to Dragon Warrior, kind of like the Ultima and the, whatchamacallit, the Something of Magic.
Oh, series. Heroes of Might and Magic?
Yeah, Heroes of Might and Magic. I think those games were probably more of a jump board for the Elder Scrolls series, but it has, you know, the first-person perspective, you know, completely realized. Instead of just a static frame of first-person, it's a fully animated first-person world, incredible graphics, It's got the whole real world type of thing to it, like characters, you know, going about their business, doing certain jobs, having schedules, you know, going to sleep at night. And it also has moral decisions intermixed with the world as well. Like, you could just go out and kill people. And
it's fucking huge.
Yes.
That game is so big. I mean, I've played it for like 20 hours, and I'm not the biggest RPG guy, but I haven't even touched it. After 20 hours, I feel like, you know, I would still be in the tutorial in most games.
Yeah, it's a fully realized world.
It's huge.
That lives within the game. And, so very, very cool. You should check it out if you have a 360.
Or if you don't have a PS3, you know, it's coming out on PS3 in March.
Yeah.
So if you missed it on a 360... If you missed it on the 360, pick it up on the 360 so you can get the downloadable content. But if you don't have one, get it on the PS3.
Oh, yeah.
Great game.
Which brings us to the fifth game, which is kind of a step back in terms of technology. But it's Secret of Mana. And I picked this game because it's kind of like the Japanese equivalent of, like, Diablo. Because... Here's the scenario. It's a three-player simultaneous game for the SNES. Real-time, overhead view, almost Zelda-esque, if you will. And I think that would be a fantastic game to come out on the virtual console, because you could get three players together. I never really had three players. One of my friends would take control of one of the other characters, and we would, like, switch back and forth which character we were controlling. But even two-player was fun at that game, and I can only imagine how fun three-players would be. Because, I mean, you know, it's a story-driven, Japanese-style game. The music was fantastic. I would play through certain areas just to hear the soundtrack. And the graphics were really good at the time. It was very reminiscent of very similar, if not even better looking than The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past game, but it's also very similar at the same time, so that's why I picked Secret of Mana. Very, very cool. And number six on my list is probably my favorite game of last year, which is Final Fantasy XII.
Knew we couldn't get away without getting a Final Fantasy game in there.
Yeah, even in the action RPG genre. And I picked Final Fantasy XII because it combines many of the best systems from past Final Fantasy games. Because, you know, each Final Fantasy game has, a different type of battle system. I mean, even though on the outside they seem the same, but each, you know, Final Fantasy game has their own signature system. And XII combines... like the system of five, where you have the job system. It combines, it kind of combines that with all the other systems in the series, and at the same time, the gameplay mechanics are very similar to Knights of the Old Republic. I must say that I think it's even a more perfected version of the Knights of the Old Republic battle system, intermixed with all the other Final Fantasy systems. So it's really a collage of the best and innovation all thrown into one game. And on top of that, Final Fantasy XII has a lot more of a mature storyline, where it's a political story in all actuality, whereas all the other Final Fantasies are, you know, destroy the giant monster, find the Crystal of Life, but this game has a very political, it almost seems like it has something to say, I still have yet to beat it, so I don't really know what the overall message, you know, if the director was trying to convey one. I don't know what it is yet, but, yeah, that's why I picked 12.
The game is called Final Fantasy. Fucking ended already.
Yes.
That's just my bitterness towards the Final Fantasy series.
Well, there has been a lot of them.
Yeah, a little too few, a little too many.
Yeah, and
my taste.
And maybe on a future podcast, I'll probably go on my rant about, you know, a company just basically throwing their name around all over the place. But I'll save that for a later episode.
Yeah, I think we should start doing rants. I think rants would be very entertaining.
Yes, rants are awesome.
Rants are very entertaining.
I mean, the internet was created so that people could, like, bitch.
Well, yeah, that's what the internet is. It's a giant pool of bitching.
Yes, very fantastic.
Gambus Con's RPG corner for this week's podcast. We're going to take one final break and please your ears with some nice soothing sounds of music.
Yes.
And when we come back, we're going to count down the top 10 games that you should play of all time. Oh, you're already going out.
Yes, I was all ready for the go out.
But then we'll be back.
Okay.
What's up?
How's it going?
All right. This is a late evening. And we are going to finish this out with, and I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I spawned this kind of idea from, there was a discussion on One Up Yours last week about, you know, the people on the boards wrote in and wanted to know, you know, what games are required, you know, what's required reading, basically, for gamers.
Yeah, required reading, required viewings. It's sort of like if you're a bookworm, you should have read the Bible.
Wow. Or, yeah, okay. I was thinking more like Catcher in the Rye or Romeo and Juliet or something like that. But no, you have to bring up the Bible.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about the 10 games that every gamer should have to play in their life to be, you know, versed in gaming.
Yes, to be quite versed, to be a quintessential sage of gaming.
Now, every game on this list, now, granted, this is probably not the definitive list, and there's probably a shit ton more games that we could throw onto this list.
Oh, yeah.
But these are the first 10 games that we thought of that really kind of defined their genres. They really laid the groundwork for so much to follow, and that everybody should really play these games to really appreciate how far we've come and the innovations and advancements that games have made over the years. And we will start off at the top of the list with a game out of my very favorite franchise, Mega Man 2.
Yes. Fantastic.
Mega Man 2 is just an absolutely incredible game. The system of the password, it was the first password kind of system where it actually knew what you had when you beat the levels, like which energy tanks you had, what levels you'd beaten, and the layout of the boss structure where every time, you know, a certain weapon would beat a certain boss, and it really defined the platformer as far as a side-scroller type game. And the level design is just, still to this day, is just incredible. From, you know, falling down, trying to avoid the Flash Man beams, to, you know, the Bubble Man level with the just, an Airman level. I mean, everything about that game, every level, you could look at a screenshot of it and tell me what boss level it was from. That's how unique and original they were. And every one was very challenging. And it just, flawless execution.
To tell you the truth, I think modern game design, it should really take a lot of notes and play some of these old school games. Because it seems like, to me anyway, that a lot of games, if you look at a screenshot of a game, most of your modern games, you can't really tell what stage you're on, you know? It's, I think when it comes to level design, you should have something, a signature, like some kind of signature look for perhaps each level in a game. I think that would be quite marvelous.
I think developers have got a lot away from that because of a lot of criticism they take for, you know, cliched levels. Like, here's your jungle level, here's your snow level, here's your water level. But, you know, if you do it right, it can still be done.
But here's the thing. About half of the new games that have been coming out in the past year, the whole game could be, here's your realistic city in flames level, and that's the whole game.
Yeah, that can be the case for a lot of games. And one other aspect we talk about Mega Man 2 has got to be, you know what I'm thinking, the music.
Oh, yeah.
Still to this day, some of the best music in a game ever.
Makes you want to get up and dance.
I still dance every time it comes on.
Oh,
yeah. It's crazy.
Fantastic music.
Yeah, but definitely my personal favorite in the entire series, and definitely I think the pinnacle of the series as far as the execution, the design, and just everything about it.
It's kind of ironic. It's the pinnacle of the series, and it's the second one out of, like, what?
There were 8 standard games. There's been 8 X games. There's been, like, 3 or 4 Zero games. I mean, the franchise is huge, and it spans so much.
And the thing is, it seems like the more it expands out, the crappier it gets.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately.
In terms of, like, gameplay. I mean, the EX series, it was okay. It was Pokemon Mega Man. But, come on, they're, like, up to, like, 5 or 6 of them now. And each one, you can't really tell the difference between that and the other one.
They're very similar. And honestly, I would like to see a new Mega Man. Like, Mega Man 9. Official Mega Man 9. 2D. You know, put it on Xbox Live Arcade or, you know, whatever.
I think they should make a 2D next gen, all the way next gen. Like, the backgrounds would be, like, 3D polygonal, like, you know, the hard hats. Like, have a giant hard hat factory. And each hard hat in the background is its own three-dimensional model. And there's, like, big ones and small ones. And have the gameplay be 2.5D, where it's, like, 2.5D, to where it feels 2D, but it looks 3D, kind of like Strider 2.
Pandemonium.
And Pandemonium, which are PS1 games for the elitists out there who are historical game elitists.
Yeah, we can call that system historical now.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
It is kind of sad. It was a very good system.
They tried a lot of good stuff on that system.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, until I just mentioned it, Pandemonium had completely slipped my mind, and that was a great game.
Yeah, Pandemonium was sweet.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah, can you imagine a game like that on next-gen hardware?
Snake visuals. Oh. We're straying.
We're
going real far, but Mega Man is a soft spot for all of us here.
Yeah.
So, moving on, the next game, and it was hard to narrow down a specific title in this franchise's long-running history, but we ended up picking Super Mario Bros. 3.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of reasons behind that. I mean, it is the first Mario that was, you know, commercially a blockbuster.
Yeah.
And it was the first Mario to introduce so many new elements, like the different suits and, you know, the way the levels were structured.
The overhead, the maps.
The map system. I mean, and just the level designs were incredible. I mean, how many times did you play through the giant world?
Oh, man, that was, like, one of my favorite worlds.
Oh, I mean, you would warp there just to play through that level.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and you can still put that game in today and still play it, and it still holds up. And it's just, to me, I mean, I love World. And I would probably pick World over this, but I think 3 had more of an impact.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so good. And as far as visuals go, I mean, that was the best-looking NES game. I mean, it was just, it was gorgeous.
Thing is, Super Mario 3 was like, it was like the equivalent of a new Star Wars movie. Whereas Super Mario World, which in many ways is better than 3 in terms of gameplay and the graphics and the technology, but Super Mario World was also going up against Sonic the Hedgehog. And I think Sonic at that time stole a little bit of Mario's fire.
Yeah. I mean, it was new, it was different, and it was really fast.
It was really fast.
And that was the appeal behind the game.
Yeah, it was really fast, and now we look at it, Sonic was shallow.
It was no Mario.
It was a shallow game that moved really fast, and a lot of people were like talking about how superior it was over Mario World, because they were just like, oh, Mario World, you're moving really slow. But, you know, now we look back on it, Mario World had so much more going for it. The level designs were out of this world, you know?
Yeah, I think it's funny, because if you go back and play Sonic the Hedgehog now, I guarantee you, you won't play past the first world.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you'll play it, and you'll be like, oh, I remember how awesome this was, and then by the end of the first world, you're like, okay, I'm done.
And the thing is, each world in Mario World, a.k.a. Super Mario 4 in Japan, each world had its own personality. Gameplay mechanics were introduced in each world, and the challenge level would actually, you know, go up, but not too far to where it discourages players. It was just a well balance of everything. It was like a work of genius come to life.
Yeah, great series, and honestly, I think if you had to put those two together, 3 and World would be almost at a dead neck and neck tie for that spot. So.
Oh yeah.
But moving on, the next game that we picked. Is Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of funny because we were joking about this earlier, that by today's standards, Resident Evil is a pile of dog shit.
Oh, yes.
I mean, from the horrible acting, to the god-awful control scheme, to just so much the cheesy dialogue, the bad scare, the bad quick scares. But the first time you played that game, there was just something about it. And it has, you know, and you'll get a lot of arguments from elitists that Alone in the Dark started the, you know, genre of survival horror. But Resident Evil did it, you know, in a more, I don't want to say more, you know, like a better fashion, but it did it in a way that appealed to people.
It was a commercial success.
Yeah, and it did so much. Like, the puzzles are generic. The combat is boring, you know, the enemies are kind of, you know, stupid, but there's just something about that game.
Yeah.
And it's just a classic, and everybody should play the original, and just, it's kind of like going back to the roots and seeing where it all started, and everything has built upon that game since. So, you know.
It had a lot of moments.
Yeah, it had a lot of things that you, like, in your mind of gaming, if you sit down and you just flash images of gaming in your head, you will see things like the tyrant, and you will see things like the dogs coming through the window, or the first time you saw a snake, you know, those will come back.
Oh, speaking of snake, yeah, that the snake boss.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Yes, I mean, it's just...
And the part where they introduced the merman characters.
Oh, the hunters.
Yeah, the hunters. They look like merman.
Yeah, where the scene where it runs through the courtyard back up to the radar in the door, and it comes through the door, and it can cut your head off, and just the fear of knowing that thing can take your head off in one hit.
Yeah, that's...
There are so many moments in that game that you remember, and that's what made it a great
game. Yeah, of course, while you mentioned earlier, the tyrant, you know, big, you know... 9 foot tall, evil, like, biological experiment chasing you. Well, he wasn't really chasing you, but he was after you. It was very, very cool, and the way you take him out at the end of the game was also one of those moments that you cherish.
Yes. Great game. Definitely something you should play. The next one on the list is another in a long-running series, and... There was no question as to this one being the best, but Castlevania and Symphony of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
Symphony of the Night did... I mean, before Symphony of the Night, I will admit I was not the biggest Castlevania fan. I thought it was a good game. But Symphony of the Night did everything perfect. And still to this day, I don't think there's been a side-scroller since that one that's done everything that well.
Yeah.
The pacing was perfect. The game was the perfect length. You know, it had the perfect control. It was just... And that's why I'm so excited about the Xbox Live Arcade version, because now I can go back and play through it again. And, you know, and it's just... It's easier than digging up my old copy for the PlayStation 1.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just... I don't even know what else to say about the game other than it's just flawless.
And it has achievements when it comes out.
You got achievements. So I can get 200 points if I can, you know, unlock the full 205% of the castle. So
that will be a challenge.
Yes, it will, but it will be one I will be happy to partake because I really love that game. But if you're going to play a Castlevania game, Castlevania 4 is good, but Symphony of the Night is the definitive Castlevania game, and everybody should be required to play that. The next game is also one that we had to toss up in the air and slice in half with a katana blade to decide which one to pick, but Zelda. And the split was obviously between Ocarina of Time, which reinvented 3D gaming with the Z-targeting and different stuff, and Link to the Past, which we ended up going with a Link to the Past. And I think it was because the first Zelda game was so good that Link to the Past was like the original Zelda on steroids.
Yes.
I mean, it was just, it was the same game, same puzzle, same idea, just done with better visuals, better pacing.
It was a fully realized version of the original Zelda. And I think another reason why we picked The Link to the Past is because, well, in my opinion, Ocarina of Time was very good. It was very good. I'm not going to take anything away from that game. But I felt that it was like almost like starting over, much like starting from scratch over again. And it some people might disagree with me, but I didn't feel like Ocarina of Time was a fully realized concept. I think in some areas it still kind of felt experimental, but of course the new Zelda Twilight Princess rocks.
It basically is the fully realized 3D Zelda.
Yeah, Twilight Princess to 3D Zelda is like A Link to the Past to 2D Zelda.
Yeah, it really is, and I can still have memories of playing Link to the Past, and I downloaded it on Virtual Console, and I plan to play through it again, and just everything about that game I loved. I mean, from the music to the characters, to the worlds, to the bosses, everything about it I love. Whereas with Ocarina of Time, I liked the bosses, but they weren't as cool as they were in Link to the Past to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like you go into the dungeon, whatever weapon you find, you know you're going to use it on the enemy. And in Ocarina of Time, it was the same concept, but it didn't seem as well executed to me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Ocarina of Time. This is like comparing, you know, gold to, you know, a little bit more gold. It's hard to pick a favorite. It's like picking a favorite child.
It's like comparing a gold mine to Fort Knox.
Yeah, it's just, you know, both of them are great. But, you know, I think that Link to the Past, you will get more for a feel of the history of Zelda than with Ocarina of Time. Because as far as 2D goes, like Gamble said, it is the pinnacle 2D Zelda. It should be played by all. Next one on the list might be a little controversial. It's a little newer. But Halo.
Halo.
And I guess you could combine this between the two games. Because if you take Halo's single player, like the single player story of the original game.
Yeah.
And you take the multiplayer from Halo 2. And, you know, from what I've heard, Halo 2's multiplayer is shit compared to 3. So, you know, 3 continues the staple of the franchise, and it could be the best of both worlds, both single player and multiplayer, but Halo was just a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
From beginning to end, you wanted to finish it. And you can, like, for me, like, the snow level, I could play that over and over for hours. And I don't know why, it's just fun. And I think Cliffy B said it best when he said, you know, you get 30 seconds of fun right, and Halo got it right. That's all you have to do is make the game fun for 30 seconds and just repeat. And they got it right. And it was just fun. And then the multiplayer in 2 just took it to a whole new level and extended the life of that game. And people still play it. There's new maps coming out for it, like in March. So,
yeah, I must say, because I myself never was into first-person shooter games as an overall genre. I mean, I've messed with them in the past, you know, on the computer and stuff like that, but I never was really into first-person shooters. Halo changed that for me because it introduced, at least single-player anyway, it introduced a cinematic quality to the game, an urgency of epicness, and And on top of that, it had downright the best soundtrack I've ever heard in a first-person shooter.
Yeah, the soundtrack is phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's one of those games you don't want to use custom soundtracks on.
Oh, definitely not.
No.
And the characters were so well designed, especially the Covenant, the alien characters. Everything about that game, the level design, the graphic design, it's very exquisite. It's like a fine wine, if you will. It is
an incredible achievement. I mean, it's just, there's not enough you can say of how well it was done and how much you will still continue to play it long after. You know, if you look at pre-orders and polls and you ask people what their most anticipated game of 2007, Halo 3 is going to be at the top of every one of those lists. And that's going to be because of what Halo and Halo 2 laid down. You know, and when people are that excited about a game, that really says something. When Halo right now is the most anticipated game.
Yeah, and here's the thing. There's a lot of people out there who are like, oh, Halo, thinking that Halo is a cliched game. Well, of course it's a cliched game because it's the best of its genre, just in the exact same fact that Final Fantasy is usually the best in the RPG genre. And that in itself is also a cliche unto itself. So I would say that Halo is the Final Fantasy of first-person shooters.
It's an interesting metaphor.
Yeah.
But definitely play Halo. If you don't have it on, if you don't have an Xbox, play it on PC. If you have an Xbox, play it on Xbox. And definitely check it out when it comes out for 360 at the end of this year. But the next one on the list, we picked a PC game for this list too. And we kind of had to, because anybody that knows any of us know that we don't really like real-time strategy games. None of us have ever been avid real-time strategy aficionados. But there is one game that not one person, outside of maybe Wombat, can say that they do not love, and that is StarCraft.
Fantastic title.
I mean, we can still put this in and play and have just as much fun as we are having with any other game that is out in the market today. And for a game that's that old, that you can still play, you know, at that degree, really speaks volumes for how good it is.
Because isn't it going on like 10 years old now?
Yeah, it's up there. I think it's over 10 years old.
Oh, okay.
It may be. To be honest with you, I would need to look it up to see how old it is, but I can remember when I bought it, and I was still a young punk crazy kid.
Oh yeah, you definitely were a punk back then.
Yeah, definitely. But I was doing some, you know, and I'd never really got into the RTS genre, and a couple of friends of mine talked me into picking up StarCraft, and I can't say I've ever regretted it. It was perfectly balanced, it played great online, and it's just a ton of fun.
Yeah, I myself, I'm a Protoss fan.
Yes, I'm a Protoss player myself. I'm definitely a Protoss player.
Yeah, it's, for the uninitiative, StarCraft, you know, it's real-time strategy game. You pick between three different races.
All perfectly balanced.
Yeah, you got the Terrans, which are the humans. You know, Terrans is the technical term for humanity. And then you have the Zerg, which are sort of like the aliens from Alien.
Yeah, like the biological kind of earthy.
Yeah, they're very primitive. Evil looking.
Very primitive.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're really nicely designed, too. And then you have the Protoss, which are the technologically advanced alien race,
yep.
Which they are really cool.
It's the perfect game of paper, rock, scissors. Everything yeah. beats everything else. And if you're a good player, you can win any way you want.
And oh, yeah.
It's just a ton of fun to play. I mean, with your buddies, against computers, or against other people, or even in the campaign. And there's word that Blizzard is talking about doing a sequel, and that would make so many people happy, as long as they do it right.
Yeah, it'll make a lot of people happy, but then
It's going to be under the heat lamp.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to have huge expectations.
Oh, yeah.
All right, moving on. The next game on the list is a personal favorite of mine. In fact, it's my favorite game ever, if you read my profile. on the website, but Metal Gear Solid for the original PlayStation.
Fantastic game.
I mean, what didn't this game introduce as far as storytelling, narrative, you know, cinematic? I mean, it's just, the storyline is, it's what makes you play that game. Because it's kind of funny, because it's kind of like Resident Evil, where at this point in its life, the control scheme seems so archaic compared to other shooters.
Yeah.
You know, Splinter Cell took the stealth genre to a new level. Metal Gear still seems archaic when you play it. You know, shooters like Gears of War took the shooting aspect to the next level. Metal Gear still seems archaic next to it. Yet we still play Metal Gear, but it's because of the story, the narrative, the, you know, the voiceovers, the just the characters.
And oh yeah,
Kojima has a brilliant way of just creating a world that makes you care. It makes you pay attention. And it makes you read into it so much that you watch his trailers and pick apart little things here and there just to find tidbits of story.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because there's plenty of military-based games out there, but it seems like none of them really have that much of an identity in terms of, you know, characterization. Whereas in Metal Gear, that's all that's different. It's very character-driven And the characters aren't just faces. They're
personalities.
Yeah, they're personalities. The character designs, the artwork of the characters, I mean, you could tell who it is just by looking at their shadow. Because, you know, each main character has like a big bulking, like Vulcan Raven, you know, and
Sniper Wolf.
Sniper Wolf. I mean, they're very signature-looking characters. They're not just a bad guy wearing an army outfit. And of course, they also have, some of them have certain powers.
Yeah. The Psychomantis. And that's another thing that Kojima did with Metal Gear, was he made it so innovative in the way that you play a game, like with the Psychomantis battle. And little things like when you put your name in Metal Gear Solid 2, it prints it on the dog tags at the end of the game. You know, and just little things that remind you that it's a game, but at the same time immerse you into the experience. Like referencing the back of the box, or, you know, playing, you know, Mines with your little video thing at the top that says Hideo, or, you know, it's little touches like that and little things like that really drive that game home and make it as great as it is.
It's an extremely finely crafted game in all aspects of it. It is probably, if I might say so, probably the finest crafted game ever made.
Definitely one that everybody should play.
Oh, yeah.
But moving on, because we don't want this to draw on too long, is Street Fighter II, whatever version you want to pick.
Yeah, you could pick any of the 20 different versions that say Street Fighter II somewhere in the title.
It's basically, if you had to pick a fighting game that really defined what a one-on-one brawler should be, it was the original Street Fighter II. And you can pick any incarnation from the original to Hyper Fighting to even the newest one, which is the Xbox Live. And all they really added was, you know, some extra characters and stages and stuff, but...
And achievements.
And of course, everybody loves achievements. But, still to this day, it would be impossible to show me a more balanced fighter. I mean, and that's kind of sad in a way, but at the same time, it's really an impressive feat for Capcom. And it makes me sad that they don't make more 2D games like they do.
Yeah, Capcom, what is your problem? Wake up. Smell the coffee.
It's called Street Fighter IV, and I want it.
Yeah. Capcom needs to get out of their whatever mood they're in and whip up a Street Fighter IV. Well, maybe not whip it up, but finally craft a Street Fighter IV.
We've been waiting on it, but if there's one fighting game that every single person on this planet should play, it should be Street Fighter II. And it's required gaming.
Yes, quite right.
And the final game on our list, or pseudo-final game, the 10th title, and once again, we already talked a lot about this game, because it was in Gambus Khan's RPG Corner, is Final Fantasy VI or Final Fantasy III, as known by the Super Nintendo in the U.S.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VI is required gaming because it is the best Final Fantasy 2D game. I would actually go as far as saying that it is the best two-dimensional RPG ever made. It combines so many different things that we have yet to see again in any modern RPG. Like, there's a couple parts in Final Fantasy VI where you actually take control of armies. Well, okay, Suikoden did it, but I thought it had more of an impact in Final Fantasy VI. And also in Final Fantasy VI, you actually participate in a musical play where you actually have to remember lines and you're acting in front of an audience.
It really defined what a role-playing game should be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really, if you put something next to it and you compare something to it, that name will always come up, Final Fantasy VI. It will always be, you know, the comparison. It will always be the...
It's the finely crafted, fully realized version of Final Fantasy, much like Zelda Link to the Past is the fully realized version of a 2D Zelda game, so... that's why I picked Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, it's definitely something that if you're going to be into gaming, you should definitely check out. And then the one last game that we threw on at the end of the list that none of us play.
Yes.
Except for Wombat. Wombat did get into a stint of this, and the reason that we don't play it is because we fear that if we start playing this game, we will never play anything else.
Yeah.
And honestly, Or do anything else. Yeah, your life will completely go down the toilet. But it is World of Warcraft. And I think that this deserves to be on this list because there has never been, I mean, MMOs are really big, people get really into them, but never has there been one this big that drew everybody from casual MMO players to hardcore MMO players to people who didn't even know what the hell an MMO was to play this game. And it just seems like it's become a phenomenon, and it, you know, some people will even say that it saved PC gaming.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's just...
It did.
If you have a PC and you play PC games, what do you probably play? You probably play World of Warcraft. I mean, when you're spoofed by South Park, that's huge.
Oh, yeah. You hit the nail on the head with that statement. The thing is, that reminds me, I mean, the other day I was, you know, I take my laptop all over the place to get, you know, internet, Wi-Fi, stuff like that. And I go to... a little place called Panera Bread Company.
Oh, plug.
Yes, a plug for Panera Bread. They have good soups and good sandwiches. But anyway...
and Wi-Fi.
And Wi-Fi. I saw a businessman still in suit and tie playing World of Warcraft in the middle of a restaurant.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, geez... Yeah, World of Warcraft, if I played this game, I wouldn't do anything else.
Yeah, it's one of those games that should be required that everybody tries out, but you have to be careful not to get addicted to the crack.
And it would be hard to get addicted to it because you're paying a subscription fee. The players, the online players, they're creating the world as it goes.
And that's the appeal.
Yeah, it's a social interaction with the gameplay, like never before. I mean, you could say that EverQuest did it before, but...
It more or less laid the groundwork.
Yeah.
Because World of Warcraft took everything that an MMO is and made it appealing to every person, whereas EverQuest only made it appealing to the hardcore RPG geeks.
Oh, yeah, and it seems like anymore that they're releasing so many... decorative accessories. You could buy T-shirts. You could buy coats. You can buy patches. You could buy pins. You could buy hats. There's even novels that you can buy.
It's a marketing blitz.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a phenomenon. It's 8 million subscribers, I think, was the last count. And with the new Burning Crusade expansion, it's gonna go up. It's just insane.
Yeah, I mean, I've been curious about, you know, this game, and I don't know, I've been told by a couple friends of mine that it is the perfect game. And what I'm most afraid of is that they're right.
Yeah, I just don't want to give up everything for one game.
Exactly.
And that's really why I don't play it. And it's just, and I've never been much into the MMOs because I'm more, you know, I don't know, it's not really my thing. I've tried them. I tried EverQuest. I tried Galaxies. I tried Final Fantasy XI, and nothing ever grabbed me. And I'm afraid if I play World of Warcraft, it will.
Yeah.
And then I'm done. I'm gone.
Yeah. All you need to do is go into World of Warcraft, and you start meeting some friends. Or it's like, oh, you play this game too. Let me show you this really cool thing you could do. And then from there on is history.
Yeah, you're done.
You're getting sucked in right then and there.
You're done. Your life is over, and you play no games ever again.
Exactly.
The first hit is free. Everything after that will cost you your life.
Yeah, it'd be pretty crazy seeing your Xbox 360 covered in dust.
Yeah, I would cry a little that day.
And you'll be like, where did that dust come from? Oh, yeah, I haven't touched it in 8 months now.
Yeah, it'd be a sad state of affairs. But anyway, that wraps up our first session of Required Gaming. I'm sure we will return to this. We have plenty of other genres to talk about. And like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we are going to try to do these more frequently, hopefully once a week. And we may even, you know, look into some purchasing some more expensive equipment so that everybody doesn't complain that we sound like we're talking out of a tin can asshole. Anyways, we hope you enjoy our banter. And if you have any suggestions or, you know, questions, comments, or if you'd just like to submit us some cool stuff, you know, submit us some top 10 lists. We'll definitely read them on the air. And any questions that you guys have, we will definitely find the answer for you.
Yeah, and if you want to, like, send us, like, t-shirts and money, we would accept those, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, make sure you send the t-shirts to Gambus Khan, because he'll wear them. I'd be afraid to wear other people's t-shirts.
Yeah.
But the money I'll keep. Also, we want to send out a plug to our good friend Dusty Cartridge over at newsforgamers.com, which we also were affiliated with, and we handle a lot of content over there. I want to congratulate him on his new design. It's incredible. And everybody should stop by at News4Gamers, news4gamers.com, or in4g.com, and check it out. It's the pinnacle. It's like the news ticker for video games. Everything is there, including this podcast and hundreds of other podcasts from around the web, so you can listen to everybody bitch and moan.
Oh, yeah.
As well
Good
as
times.
All of our reviews. And, of course, you can catch all of our reviews in our review archive at ztgamedomain.com. And be sure to stop by our brand new forums, which we just opened recently. And we're trying to keep all the spam bots out of there, but they continue to want to show me Shakira porn. And I'm deleting them on a daily basis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you can stop.
Oh.
But we'll keep them out of there. So stop by the forums over at ztgamedomain.com/forum. And, of course, check out our blogs at ztgamedomain.com/blogs.
Blogs.
Bloggity blog. I hate that word. I even mentioned that in my recent blog.
Oh, really?
I said, I hate this word.
It
sounds like I'm doing something to, like, a prison inmate. I'm blogging him. You know, it's just a disturbing word that I don't like.
To me, it just sounds like a lazy word.
Yeah, blog.
Yeah, it's like, what are we going to call this new innovation? And they're like, blog.
Well, it's not really an innovation. It's a one-man forum is basically all it is. But, you know, I have one. And basically, I think I'm going to start using it just to talk about the site and games and not really go into the industry news too much because we have enough of that, you know, at newsforgamers.com. Go there.
Is it technology wonderful? One can fully express his innermost thoughts and add himself to the collectiveness of the internet through a blog.
Yeah, or you can become a star on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
It's a scary, scary world.
That is a scary world. And I've seen some of those stars. Scary.
Yeah. But if we can reach, you know, the couple hundred gamers out there that like to listen to our banter, we're glad you're enjoying and we're glad you continue to listen. And like I said, any suggestions, send them our way.
Oh, yeah.
Stop by the forum. Stop by the site. Send us an email. Chat us up on Xbox Live. You know, we are always ready to do some gaming. Maybe we'll set up some game nights in the future.
Oh.
At least do some community stuff. Because that's the big thing about the site, was we want to get a lot of community guys going on. We want to hang out with you guys online, talk to you, and play some games with you. We want to know what you think. What can we do better? So send everything to us, and for now, we're going to get out of here, and hopefully we'll see you next week. So until then, game on, friends, and Jason, take me out.